Praise the Lord. Let's go to the word of the Lord today, and we want to go to the book of Luke, chapter 21. We're thankful for all of these involved in leading of worship and the music and the service here today. I just feel like God's bringing things together. And sometimes when God brings it together, it's not how we would bring it together. It's not how we would think things should happen. But the Lord has a plan, and He sees it from a different perspective. He sees it from an eternal perspective. We see it from the here and now. And sometimes we think, well, this is not how I would do it here and right now. But the Lord says, no, but just give me a little time, because I'm working something. I've got a plan. I've got some things I'm bringing together, and I've got to prepare hearts, and I've got to get everything just right. I've got to get everything just right. Amen. Praise the Lord. Luke chapter 21 and verse 25. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. I want to preach to us on that today. Looking up. Looking up. I feel it's time that we need to look up. Hallelujah. Jesus, we praise you. We worship you. Thank you for the moving of your Spirit here. Thank you, Lord, for your glory that's in this house. Thank you for your power that we feel. Even as we pray right now, we feel that surge of the Spirit in this place. I pray, God, that you would work and move in our lives. I pray that you would do the work in us, God, so we can do the work that you called us to do. I pray that you'd help us, Lord, to keep our eyes on you. Don't let us be distracted. Don't let us turn to other things, but Lord, help us to keep you first and foremost. Lord, I praise you for what you're doing in this church. I thank you for what you're doing in this city. We give you all the praise and the glory, Lord, and we want to trust you. We want to move forward in your Spirit to be led of the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. We spoke some Wednesday night, but we come with a heavy heart seeing the events of this past week, realizing that our nation is full of turmoil and full of chaos, knowing that we live in a very divided nation. And I'm not sure that it's divided according to percentages exactly, but there's just different groups that are very divided in their thinking. And it certainly seems that things are not going back to business as usual. Things are changing, swiftly changing. And we are all being affected, and it is just beginning. Our comfort zone has been interrupted. And I believe that we need to realize that fair weather Christians are being tried through all of this. And God is revealing those who are totally committed to Him and those that are just in it for when it's easy. And no doubt that's going to be even more evident as time marches forward. But I want to tell you, we have a hope. Amen. We have a hope. All is not lost, and we still have faith, and we take heart today in that we are citizens of another country. I'm so grateful to be a citizen of the United States of America, but we've got to realize we are looking beyond just this today. We are looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but that song, that old song, rings a little truer today than ever before. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Oh, we have a hope. We have a hope today. Can you just lift your hands and thank God for his promises? Thank God for the hope that we have through him. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. If anything could be helpful to us, I tell you what we need today, what we need in the church is to get to a place that we put everything on the altar and we say, Lord, I'm tired of the things of the flesh and I'm tired of the things of this world, and I don't want to be so in love with this world and so in love with life and enjoying the pleasures of life that I'm not moved in my spirit when I see things happening on the news and when I'm around things that are going on in our city and in our nation. But we've got to have a heart after the Lord to realize that this world is not where my eternal home is, and I can't get too in love with this world, but I've got to look to another place. I've got to look up because my redemption is drawing nigh. Hallelujah. We have to realize today that we cannot control what happens to us all the time. That's just something that's beyond our control. We can't control everything that happens to us. It's impossible, but we can control how we react. We can't control what happens all around us, but we can control what happens in us. And we learn through everything. We learn through the mountains, and we learn through the valleys. We learn to trust God. We learn to keep our spirit right. We learn to keep our attitudes right, to protect our minds, to control our response. What should we do with all of this that's going on? What is the answer? Do we get angry? Do we respond with our emotions and take our frustrations out on others? What do we do in the midst of all the chaos and all the turmoil and uncertainty? I believe today that we need to be, the church needs to be, the church must be the change that the world needs. We don't want to be part of the problem. We don't want to be part of the problem, but we need to be the change, the difference, the example that the world needs. There are too many who they just respond out of anger and they respond out of hurt. There's too many who let fear control them. There are those who have turned hatred toward others, but that does not fix anything. But we need to be part of the solution. We've got to be part of the solution. And yes, we stand for morality. And yes, we stand for biblical values. But still, we've got to be Christians while doing so. Hallelujah. Be the change that the world needs. And I want to tell you how you can change your world. You may not be able to change the circumstances that happen to you. We may not be able to change everything in government and in society and in politics. But let me tell you how you can change the world. You change the world when you get down on your knees. Amen. You get down on your knees. And there in the spirit in prayer, God lifts you up to another realm. Another dimension. You're not just in a natural dimension. You're not just in a physical place, but you're in a spiritual place. And the power of God begins to move on us when we pray and move through us. Amen, amen. If you have not made a practice of praying in the Holy Ghost, I need to tell you today, you need it. You need to do that so desperately. Our world needs for you to learn how to pray in the spirit, because sometimes in our flesh we don't know what to pray. We don't know what to ask for. But when the Holy Ghost starts to move in through us and we begin to speak in tongues and there's groanings and orderings in the spirit that cannot be uttered, and the spirit starts praying through you to use you as a vessel of the Holy Ghost, I tell you, there is nothing more powerful than a Christian who is filled with the Spirit that knows how to pray. Come on, church, we've got to learn. We've got to move into that dimension. We've got to move into that realm, because God wants to use us in apostolic prayer. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man, it availeth much. It causes much to happen.
Sometimes we come to pray and, oh, we've got our little prayer format and our little prayer tradition. And thank you, Jesus. I love you. I praise you. And sometimes it's okay to do that. God, you see all these needs. I need $1 million. I need a new car. I need a new job. I need whatever it is. And we go through our little speech. Okay, God, thank you. I'll be looking for that check. And we go on our way. And God says, wait a second. You didn't even let me talk. You didn't even tap into the Spirit. You were just in your flesh. Did you know sometimes we're praying and we're just praying in the flesh? There's another dimension. There's another realm that's possible. And sometimes you don't get there in 15 minutes of prayer. Sometimes I don't get there in an hour of prayer. I'm just being real today. Sometimes I pray 45 minutes and I don't feel nothing. But you keep on. You keep pressing through. And I want to tell you, eventually there will be something. You may even go for a week, and it seems like you prayed every day, and your prayers are just bouncing off the roof, but you keep it up, because your prayers, the effectual, fervent prayers of a righteous man, they avail much. They are producing an effect. It's building up. And all of a sudden, there'll be a day that comes, and it's like the windows of heaven open, and you don't even get the words out of your mouth, but boom, all of a sudden, the Spirit falls, and you can feel that unction of the Holy Ghost, and the power of God starts to move, and tears start to roll down your cheek, and you're in the very presence, the throne room of God. Hallelujah. I would that this church would be full of men who know how to pray, full of ladies that know how to pray, full of young people that they don't wait till they're 33 years old to start be used of God, but they learn how to pray in the Spirit. They're not ashamed, they're not intimidated, but they're bold in their prayers. Hallelujah. Oh, I would that men would pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath or doubting. I would there be some men right now that you just lift up your hands and you'd start to pray, God, let your will be done in me. Let your power move through me. Teach me to be a man of prayer. Teach me to be a man of prayer, a man of power, a man that walks in the Spirit, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Come on, lift your voice right now. Somebody lift your voice. Come on, somebody pray in the Spirit right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Those of you watching online, I wish you could feel what I feel in this place. There is a moving of the Holy Ghost. There is a moving of the Spirit of God. There is an unction of the Spirit of God right now. Why don't you yield to the Holy Ghost wherever you are? I want to tell you what, the greatest thing you can do is learn how to be a prayer warrior. The greatest thing you can do is learn how to flow in the Spirit. Amen. Not to just be in your flesh, but learn how to get into the realm of the Spirit. And the Holy Ghost ministers through you. And you may not even know it, but there you're speaking in tongues. You're praying in the Spirit. And you don't even know the needs of the person beside you, but you are ministering in the Holy Ghost. You're asking the Lord to send angels to minister to their situation. You are binding and you are loosing in the Spirit, and you don't even realize what you're praying, but the power of God is praying through you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Young man, you got to listen to me. I hope you grow up and be successful. I don't know how much time we've got, but I tell you, more important than anything else you would do, more important than being a dentist or a doctor or a lawyer or whatever it could be in this life, more important than that is you learn how to pray. Shatabaha, shatabaha. Young ladies, I want you to hear me. I want you to be successful. I want you to be good in school, and I want you to learn everything you can learn and all of that. But more than that, I want you to learn the things of the Spirit. I want you to learn the things of the Spirit. Oh, I'm thankful for children's ministry that teaches our kids how to pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. More important than them knowing how to sing or knowing how to do anything else, if they can know how to pray, that's the power place. That's the power source. That's where you get in the Spirit and things can change.
Amen. I want to put a challenge forward to this church this year in 2021. Let's devote ourselves to learning everything we can about prayer. Learning how to pray, learning how to move in the Spirit, learning how to fill a check in the Holy Ghost. We may have a lot going on in our schedule, but all of a sudden, ooh, I've got to pray. I've got to pray. Maybe it's young people. It's time to go out to eat. It's time to go to fellowship. But somebody says, you know what? I gotta go to the altar because I feel a burden right now. And I can't move on to something else because I feel the Lord leading me. Amen. When you pray, so there's some times for quiet prayers, but there's some times that what the Lord needs is somebody to come with boldness and for you to pray out loud, for you to pray using your voice, using the boldness in the Spirit that God wants you to have. You need to work into that. If you're embarrassed about praying with others, then you work on it at home in your prayer closet. But we need a time when we come together and we're praying together, and there's a sound of prayer. There's the sound of praying. Amen. Sometimes we just feel the prayers that's going on, but sometimes there needs to be a sound of praying as men and women and children and young people use their voice to magnify the Lord. Amen. Come on, it's easier for people to receive the Holy Ghost when there's a sound of prayer. It's easy for people to be delivered when there's a sound of prayer. It's easy for people to have a miracle when there's boldness in prayer.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You be the change that the world needs, and let me tell you how to change your world. You change it through prayer. You change it through prayer. Prayer opens doors. Prayer moves mountains. Prayer delivers. Prayer changes things. Hallelujah. You may be seated. In Luke chapter 21, Jesus describes some things that are to come. He told the disciples about things that would be happening. The world he tells about is not one that we are happy to see. Nevertheless, our world is quickly headed there. He said, you're going to hear of wars and of commotions, disturbances and uprisings. There's going to be rebellions. He said nation is going to rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There's going to be great earthquakes all over the place and plagues, pandemics. And there's going to be fearful. You think this is the first one? I'm just telling you, I feel like there's more to come. I kind of feel that. I don't know what the next one's going to be, and I don't know. I don't know. But I just feel like it. This is just the first one. I don't even hate to say that. I hate to speak that. I just feel like that's the world we're entering into. And there's going to be fearful events. There's going to be terrifying things. And there's going to be great signs from heaven. There's going to be persecution. Yes, there's going to be persecution. He said you're going to be dragged into synagogues and into prisons. You're going to be brought before kings and rulers because of my name. People are going to betray you. He said some of you will be put to death. I hope that never happens, but if we read the Bible and if we see where the world is heaven, I can imagine that coming at some point, that Christians, even in America perhaps, are going to be persecuted. I hope that's not true, and I hope it's somewhere else around the world, but I don't know everything we're going to face. He said, you're going to be hated of all men because of my name. I tell you, in our culture and in our world today, people are hated because of the stand that they make for the things of God. Amen. I believe that we'll probably get to the place that we'll not be able to have services live on Facebook because we stand for the Bible, and the Bible is going to be a book of hate according to them. You're going to be hated for the stand that we make for the Lord. This is not a reality that we want to experience. These things are not something that we are looking forward to. Nobody's running the aisles right now. No, nobody's shouting right now. There's no celebration going on because these are fearful things. They're dreadful things. Persecution and struggle and betrayal and even death. That's not something we want to think about. We want to go back to business as usual. Just let things get back to normal, whatever that is. And we want to go back to sleep. But as the writer of Hebrews talked about, there is coming a shaking. God said, once more, I'm going to shake not only the earth, but also the heaven. And everything is going to be shaken so that only unshakable things are going to remain. You need to hold on, church. You need to hold on, saints. There's a shaking that's already starting, and it's going to get a lot worse. And we better hold on tight. Right now is the time that we need to get in the church. Oh, we better be living for God. We better let our prayer life be strong. It's not time to let up. It's not time to skip out. It's not time to relax. But hold on, because there's a shaking that's coming. And then in our text we read Luke 21 and 25, and there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and on the earth distress among nations and with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Signs in the sun, we're seeing that. Signs in the moon, we're seeing that. Signs in the stars, that's happening. And here on the earth, the nations are going to be in turmoil. The sea and the waves roaring, trouble in the oceans, rising sea levels, rising tides, surging waves, tsunamis. We are seeing that. There's not one thing here that you can point to that we're not seeing right now. And men's hearts are going to be failing them for fear. People are going to be terrified by what they see happening. All the things coming on the world, they're going to be overcome with fear. Their hearts are going to fail them. They're going to be fainting with fear because the powers of heavens are going to be shaking. And all of this is happening. There's more fear in our world today than ever before. There's more anxiety. There's more worry. There's more stress. Even in the church, we are experiencing that more. We are dealing with more fear than we've ever had because it is fearful, everything, to see everything that's going on and that's coming on the world. Jesus said the last days are going to be a time of unprecedented fear. If you will go to any website today, all you see is fear, fear, fear. Fear about what's going to happen politically. Fear about violence in our nation, fear about the economy, fear about the future of our government, fear about the pandemic and what's going to happen with the new strain and is the vaccine going to work and is the vaccine making people sick and all that. There's fear that our freedom of speech is being destroyed and on and on and on it goes. Everywhere there's fear. And some of them are real fears. Things that are really happening. It's trouble, it's turmoil, it's terrifying. Everywhere we look, there's fear. And that's exactly the world that our Lord described. It's coming to pass. It's here. Everything we've heard preached about all of our life. Now we're seeing it start to happen around us so very fast. But I want to tell you today, Jesus gives us hope in the midst of fear. There is a solution in the midst of the problem. There is good news ahead. He said in Luke 21:27, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And then he said, when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. I don't know how long we have left to go through this, but Jesus said, when these things begin to come to pass. He didn't say after you've been seeing them for years. He didn't say after it's been going on a lifetime or a generation. No, but when they begin to come to pass, then look up. Come on, somebody needs to look up today. Come on, church. You need to lift up your head, for your redemption draweth nigh. Your redemption, your deliverance, your salvation, your liberation. When you see these things begin to come to pass, you need to lift up your head. You need to look up. Don't be looking down, but pay attention to what's going on. Your redemption is drawing nigh. I want to tell you, there is about to be a day of redemption. There is coming a day of salvation. There is coming a day of liberation where we're going to be liberated from this world and the pain and the hurt and the sorrow and the struggle and the sin that surrounds us. There is coming a day of redemption. And if the signs are all here, God said, you better begin. When they see these things begin, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. I hope God gives us a few more years, because we have a lot to do. But things are changing. The world is being shaken. Time is speeding up. Things are happening fast. And I feel like I need to preach to this church today. It's time to wake up. Come on, it's time to wake up. If 2020 didn't wake us up, then I don't know what will. If 2020 didn't shake us up, I don't know what we. If we're sleeping after 2020, then we need to make it to a place of prayer, and we don't need to get up until something moves in our spirit, because God is preparing us. He's getting His church ready, and this is it. This is the final hour. However long it might be, we've got to be awake and aware. Look up, lift up your head. Your redemption draweth nigh. Hallelujah. 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 I can remember as a child, they'd have these great crusades and they would show information about the end time. They play these movies. If you've ever seen The Distant Thunder, and I forget, there's about four of them. I want to tell you what, it would shake you up. And as a little six-year-old kid, I didn't have the Holy Ghost yet, and I was scared to death. I can remember, even after having the Holy Ghost, coming home from school, and Mom was always home. I don't know if we had one car. I don't know what it was, but Mom was always home, and she wasn't there that day, and the door was wide open, and nobody was there. Yeah. I remember Daniel the other day. We were getting ready for school, and I'm like, Daniel, come on, we got to get in the car. And the car was running. We were warming it up, and I had to go back to the back of the house to get something, and I don't know where Colt was, and all of a sudden Daniel comes in. Yeah, big old Daniel. Because he thought we had just gone out the door and there was nobody out there. We've all got stories. I remember a time we went to San Antonio, a little family vacation, and I think Dana was in a car seat. I don't even think Colt was born. And Sister McCoy was, we were waiting. There's a big crowd of people waiting to get into the restaurant, and they were sitting on a bench right behind me. And there was the two girls and Daniel in his car seat, Sister McCoy, and I'm waiting. I have them turn around. They're gone. The car seat's empty. And Sister McCoy's purse is sitting there right in the middle of this big crowd. It's just sitting there. I want to tell you, my heart stopped just a moment. Apparently somebody had an emergency and they'd gone to the restroom or something, but whew. And we say it's funny, but I don't want to miss it. I don't want to miss it. I don't care what has to happen to me. I don't care, God, what you have to do to me to make sure my heart's right. Hallelujah. I've got to be ready. For above all else, I must be saved. For above all else, I must be saved. I don't care what you have to do to me. Just make sure I'm ready for eternity, Lord. I've got to make it to heaven. I've got to make it. I've got to be ready. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen, amen. Come on, we need to be preaching about it like never before. We need to be talking to people about it like never before. Amen, don't get your eyes on something else, but look up. Your redemption draweth nigh. It's time for revival. It's time to get our hearts ready. Come on, it's time to prepare for what's coming. The Bible is unfolding before our very eyes. Look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. I'm telling you, I believe this. There are enough backsliders out there that they know the truth. They know Bible prophecy. They know all the things of the Lord. They know what's right, and they're going to see all of this happening. And I hope, it's my sincere hope and prayer that something's going to reach past the walls that they've built up, the walls of hurt and bitterness and whatever it is that they're mad about, that they won't come to the church. But God's going to reach past all of that, because they're going to see, hey, that thing that I heard about in Sunday school, it's starting to come to pass. And this world is shaking, and this world is not the place that it's always been, the place of comfort and peace and all of that. But I've got to get back to the house of the Lord. I've got to make sure my heart's right, because what Grandma told me about and what I learned about in Sunday school, it's happening before my very eyes. Hallelujah. And if you're listening on this broadcast today, I want to tell you, if your heart's not right, right where you are right now, you need to make a place of prayer. You need to repent of your sins. Lord, forgive me. Lord, hurt. I pray that you'd reach down to the hurt and the pain, and that you would heal my heart, that you would refill me with the gift of the Holy Ghost, because I've got to be saved. I've got to be saved. I've got to be saved. Hallelujah. Jesus described a very fearful day, a very fearful hour that we are seeing, I believe, start to come to pass. But we do not need to live in fear, because in the midst of fear, we do not need to live in fear, because God has this under control. In fact, our faith ought to be increasing every single day, because the more we see the prophecies and the word of God coming to pass, the more we know that we can trust God. The more that we see the world moving in a way that the Bible says it will, the more that we have a guidebook for what is coming, and we can be prepared and we can be ready. In the midst of so much fear, how can we live without fear? Do you remember what Jesus said in Matthew 10:28? He said, "Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." And then he goes on into this discussion about sparrows and hare. He says, verse 29, "Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father. but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Sparrows are just small birds. There's about 9,000 species of birds by one account, and out of all of them, Jesus refers to the sparrow. In America alone, there's 35 kinds of sparrows. Now, in the Lord's day, the term sparrow, it applied to all small land birds. And in that time, they would catch them with nets, and they would sell them. Jesus saw them selling two for a penny. It's just a small bird. It's not a thing of value. And it was of these birds that were so small and not real valuable as we would consider value too for just a penny. But Jesus said, not one of them shall fall on the ground without God knowing it. He knew where each one of them was until its little lungs took their last breath. He knew every sparrow. Every hair on our head is counted by our Father in heaven. Some have more or less than others, but usually 100,000 to 150,000 hairs cover the human head. Hair serves as an insulation during the winter and also the summer. We have eyebrows to keep the sweat out of our eyes, eyelashes to protect our eyes from dust, tiny hairs in our nose that filter the incoming air particles. In the ears, they help with the process of hearing. Every hair is a cylinder of cells that goes into the skin to reach blood vessels for nutrition. If you even lightly, just very lightly, touch the top of your head, your hair nerves will alert your brain and you feel it. Isn't that amazing? And in these scriptures, Jesus, he was teaching the disciples not to fear. He had created every sparrow. He had formed every human body. And he had numbered every hair. For by him were all things created. Oh, but the disciples, they really didn't understand it all. You see, Jesus could have said, hey, Peter. Hey, Peter, what if I told you that right now you have 127,550 hairs on your head? There's 162 in your right eyebrow and 165 in your right, in your left. You've got 165 in your nostrils and 306 in your left ear. And he could have said, Peter, I know you so well that I can tell you the exact number of hairs on your head, subtracting for those that fell out today in the shower. Oh, and if he knows all of that, then why don't we just trust him with every other detail of our life? Hallelujah. Oh, since he knows all of this about you, can't you just believe that he's going to guide your every step and that he's going to keep you all the way through? He could have said, hey, James, listen up just a moment. There's 2,396,065 sparrows on the earth as of right now. I don't know. And in the last 24 hours, 200,603 died a natural death. 4,653 were killed with BB guns. And 10,983 ran into cars or very fast camels, But not one of those sparrows falls to the ground without me knowing it. And now that you know this, can you be careful now for nothing? Will you trust me to take care of your needs? Will you not worry about things, not even about what you're going to eat or what you're going to drink, but know that I know what you need and I'm going to supply it. Come on, will you trust me to take care of you? Come on, I've come to tell somebody today that as much as you think about things, as much as you think about your life, as much as you consider all of the things going around you, and as much as you worry and as much as you stress and all of the fearful things that you think about, I want to tell you God is paying even more attention to you. He knows the details of your life, and he knows exactly where you are and what you're going through. He said in Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. in the midst of all that where there's all to think about that's worrisome and fearsome, and in the midst of all that, God is thinking thoughts of peace about you, not of evil. He's got a plan for you even in the midst of a chaotic world. David said in Psalm 139:17, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. God's thoughts towards us, they can't even be counted. They're more in number than the sand. Don't think you're here by accident. Don't think your life doesn't have a purpose. Don't worry that in this trouble hour, God doesn't know where you are in the world. I tell you, he told Jeremiah in verse 5 of chapter 1, before I formed you in the belly, I knew thee. Before you came out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. How do we overcome fear in this hour? By realizing and never forgetting that God is right here with us. He is with us. He knows where we are. He knows. He's watching everything in our life. He has a plan for us. It's a plan for good. It's a plan to bless us and to see us through whatever we face. Don't ever forget, you're more important than sparrows. If he notices the sparrow, if he knows how many hairs you have on your head, then he knows exactly where you are. Now, it's easy when we're down and when we're depressed and when we're fearful to hang our head, to look down, to get our eyes on everything that's going on all around us, all of the trouble, all the chaos, all the fear. It's easy to be on Facebook, Twitter, or Parler, for those of you that downloaded it before it was outlawed. But it's easy to be looking down at our phones, trying to see what's the latest fearful and stressful thing going on. I've just come to tell somebody here today, when you see these things begin to come to pass, you need to look up. You need to look up. Don't be so intently focused on everything going on in the world that you miss what's happening with your Lord. Colossians 3:2 says, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. You need to look up. You need to set your mind on things that are above and not all that's going on here on the earth. Think of the things of heaven. Think of the things of God, the things that are in God's word. We can spend hours and hours and hours thinking about things that are fearful, thinking about the unknown, but God's word cautions us about that. In fact, Philippians 4:6, Paul writes, be careful for nothing. In other words, he says, don't you be anxious about anything. Don't you worry about anything. Don't be fearful. Be careful for nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. That's how we look up. That's how we look up. We set our mind on things that are above, knowing that God is still faithful, that God is still on the throne, that his word is still true. He still has a plan, and everything going on in this world, it just points to the fact that the word of God is coming to pass. That's how we look up. We keep our mind on things above. Hebrews 12:1 says, wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. There's a lot of things that can be weights to us. It weighs us down. There's some things that, you know what, I don't have to know every detail about everything going on in the world today because it's a weight. I can't do anything about it. I can't, you know what, it is what it is. People are going to be sinful. People are going to be ungodly. People are going to be unrighteous. But there are some things that I can change, and so I just have to worry about the things that I can change and go to prayer. But there's some weights I've got to lay aside because I'm running a race. I've got to get light. Come on, we've got to prepare for this race. We've got to run it with patience. It's not just a sprint, but this is a marathon. And we've got to run with patience the race that is set before us. And we've got to keep our eyes looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Oh, come on, we need to look to him more than ever before. We need to look to him more than we look to earthly wisdom and earthly knowledge. We need to look to him more than we look to any kind of specialist that's in this society, because he knows all. He knows what the future holds. And if I can keep my eyes on him and keep close to him and keep running after him, then he's going to lead me in the right direction. That's how we look up. Keep our minds on things of God. Keep looking unto Jesus. In John 4:35, Jesus said, "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months and then cometh harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields. They are white, all ready to harvest." Now, I'm preaching to myself. On some of your phones, there's a little place you can look at your battery. Naturally, I can't find it right now. Here we go. In the last 24 hours, wow, here's Facebook, Safari, Messages, Twitter, Parler. Oh, now they're going to come after me. Where's my Bible app? Oh, you know what? Can I talk to us? It's way down there somewhere because we're looking at everything going on. But Jesus said, look up. Look up. Would you stand with me today? Look on the fields, for they're white, all ready to harvest. Jesus has given us signs of how to know the harvest is ready. But if we're looking so much at the signs about how the harvest is ready instead of looking at the harvest, we're not going to reap anything. They have this farmer's almanac. It tells you what the weather's going to be in the next year, when you're supposed to plant, when you're supposed to harvest, all of that. Now, I can sit in the house and read the farmer's almanac, but if I don't get out in the field, we're not going to have a harvest. I just feel like I need to caution us here today. I don't know. I feel like we're just starting. You think it's crazy now? Just wait. I don't know what the future holds. But if we're so busy looking at everything going on,
that we're not looking past that to see the people who are hurting, who are lost, who need the Lord. And we have the answer that they need. We are missing our calling. We're missing our purpose. God's word talks about how there's going to be light in the evening time. I believe we're going to have end time revival. There'll be persecution, yes. There's going to be chaos and turmoil and trouble. Men's hearts are going to be failing them for fear with all that's going on. No doubt there's going to be persecution. Freedom of speech is probably not going to be what it once was. But in the midst of all of that, there's going to be light in the evening time. And during these last few moments, I believe there's going to be a light of truth that shines. There's going to be a mighty fire of revival that sweeps our world. There's going to be a great outpouring of the Spirit of God. Miracles and signs and wonders. And God is going to provide for His church. God's going to keep us. We may have to go through some things, but God still has a plan for us. And where sin abounds, grace will much more abound. This is a message of hope today. It's not a message of fear. It's not a message that's depressing. It's a message of hope right now. I've come to tell somebody, you need to look up. Because everything we've preached about, everything we've heard about, everything we've studied in the Word of God, it's coming to pass. It's coming to pass right now, right before our very eyes. And think about this with me today. God saw fit to put you in this time. God saw fit. He said, you know what? Brother Brandon's got a place right there at the end time. Sister Sapphire, she's got a work to do. Where could I put her throughout all of eternity? I'm going to put her right there because I want her to be a part of what I'm going to do in the last days. And every single one of us, God placed you here for a reason. God put you here for a purpose. You have a calling. You have a ministry. You have the will of God is for you to be used in the kingdom. And He placed you right here at the most important time of the church. Come on, if you would catch hold to that, if you would receive that today, I believe God wants to do something great in our lives. Come on, somebody look up. Look up today. Don't focus so much on the negative, but focus on the power of God, on the good things of God. Amen. Don't focus on this world, but look up. Look unto Jesus, the author, the finisher of our faith. Come on, don't be so focused on stressful and worrisome things, but look past all of that and see the souls, the harvest that is ready right now. Oh, lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes. Look up today in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, is there anybody you'd like to go to another dimension? You'd like to go to another level? You want to be used in the kingdom? You want God's power to work and move through you? Come on, you want to be a man or a woman or a young person of prayer that knows how to change things in the spirit?